Do you respect that the Bible reveals every good work? You know, there's a lot of religious people that don't respect that. There's a lot of religious people that get together and say, well, I think this would be a good work, but we can't find authority for it in the Scriptures. But it seems like a good work to us. Do you respect God's Word and the authority of His Word? Other passages you can turn to. Psalm 119, the longest psalm in the Bible, that celebrates the Word of God. But here's just verse 160. It says, the entirety of your Word is truth. And every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. What does that mean? Every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. In a nutshell, it means this: that what God says is right, always, always will be, always has been, always will be. And what God says is wrong, is wrong. What God identifies as sin is sin. When He stated it, and for all time thereafter. A lot of people try to justify their sin today by saying, well, I understand that that's what God said a couple thousand years ago, but things have changed. God's Word hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. That's what this verse means. Every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. The entirety of God's Word is truth. Verse 128 of Psalms 119 says, therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. I hate every false way. What God says is right, and everything that goes against that is false and is sin. Some people need to change their mind about who Jesus is, just like they need to change their mind about God and His authority. You know, not everybody who's religious believes that Jesus is the Son of God, the Word of God, made flesh, the Savior of mankind. They believe in Jesus. They'll say He's a prophet. They'll say He was a God, a little God. All kinds of things when it comes to the subject of Jesus. But this is what the Scriptures say about it. John 1, first five verses, it says, in the beginning, that is the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That beginning. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. Pay attention to these words right here, because God will work on this throughout the Scriptures. In Him. In the Word was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Those are sad words. The light shines to give life. But some people don't want the life that the light offers. Verse 14 of John chapter 1 is extremely important. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Son, of the Father, full of grace and truth. So that Word that was with God and was God in the beginning is incarnate in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, who we come to know through the reading of the Scriptures. Now, you can go through all kinds of mental gymnastics and reasoning and all kinds of things to try to dismiss this Word, but it's still there. And you're going to have to deal with it. Who was Jesus? He is the Word of God made flesh. I find it interesting that God tries to communicate with us with words that we can understand, but he'll leave us still wondering, you know, how is he the Son of God? What? I mean, there was no mother of Jesus. I mean, that's when we think about God or about sons and daughters, right? That's how they come about. So how did Jesus become a son? And we're not to think that way. We're to think about the relationship that exists between God the Father and God the Son, and even the word Father, as far as that goes. But he was the Word of God made flesh in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. Accept it or reject it. But if you've been rejecting these words, you need to be converted. You need to change and accept these words of truth. In John 3 and verse 16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Think of your children. If the whole world was going to perish in torment, except a sacrifice be offered, and the only sacrifice that can be offered is your child, I don't care how many children you have, would you give your child to save the whole world? But that's what God did. He loved us so much that he gave the one he loves the most to pay the price for our sins in his death. In verses 19 through 21, it goes on to say, this is the condemnation. Light, in him was light, and the light was the life of men. Remember that? The light shined in the darkness, and the darkness didn't comprehend it. This is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. The conversion takes place here. You're exposed to the light. Now, what are you going to do? Are you going to come to the life that is in the light? Or are you going to continue in your sin and darkness and reject the light? I don't know about Jesus being the Word of God in the flesh. I don't understand how that can happen. You don't have to understand it. You just need to accept it. You didn't do it. God did. I don't think God needs to tell me what's right and what's wrong. Think I can figure it out? Good luck with that. All of God's Word is truth. And if you read something in the Word of God that reproves you, shows that you're not in fellowship with God, and you want to reject it, you're in a bad situation. Come to the light. Come out of the darkness. And come into the light. We need to acknowledge that my sin is a transgression of God's Word, of God's law, of God's will. God's will is revealed to us in His Word. Is it a law? Yes. If we transgress the law, there is a price that we have to pay. Our separation from God. Forever and ever and ever. John, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. John says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. Romans 3 and verse 23. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We can't just say, like we said last week, well, I'm mostly a good person. I want to do what's right. I just don't find myself doing what's right all of the time. I don't find myself embracing the light all of the time. Embracing the truth all of the time. I find myself saying, well, I can be in fellowship with God in spite of my sin. When the Word of God says, no, purify yourselves as He is pure. Be holy as I am holy. That's what we are to be striving for. We're recognize our imperfections and recognize our unholiness, but don't justify it, don't excuse it. Acknowledge it before God. Confess it and turn from it and grow in the light of His Word. Salvation is available only in Jesus. Not everybody believes that. And if you're here this morning and you don't believe that, you need to be converted. You need to change. This is what the Word of God says about it. Romans 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So what? The wages of sin is death. That's so what? You're separated from God. And unless you allow Jesus to pay the price for your sin in His death, you will be eternally separated from God. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Eternal life is given to us in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Well, is He the only one that can give us eternal life? Yes, He's the only one. John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Well, not everybody believes in Jesus. No one comes to the Father except through me. In Acts 4 and verse 12, the apostles declared, there is salvation in no other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So is there some place on earth that we can be saved and some group of people that can be saved without Jesus Christ? There is no other name on earth given among men by which we must be saved. He is the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. Hebrews 5 and verse 9. Having been perfected, He, meaning Jesus, became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. There's the question. Have you obeyed Christ? Do you know what to obey? Are you willing to obey Him? Are you willing to acknowledge that the Bible, the words of the Bible, the Scriptures are the truth on every subject that it addresses, and especially the subject of your salvation, how we should worship God, how we should live our lives? Are you willing to acknowledge that? Will you obey Him? Will you be converted? So, there's a change of mind. We need to change our mind and bring it into alignment with the truth of God's Word. That God is real and He has all authority. That the Bible is authoritative. It is the Word of God. That Jesus is the Word of God. Incarnate. That sin is my transgression of God's Word, His law, His will. And that salvation is available only in Jesus. So conversion involves a change of mind, but it also involves a change of heart. The Bible heart is the seed of man's mental, spiritual, and emotional consciousness. Sometimes we say, well, what does the Bible mean when it's talking about your heart? Because one of the first things we think about is this thing in our chest that's pumping blood that started beating when we took a breath of air and continues to do so until the day it stops beating. It's a muscle, but never rest. It's an amazing organ. But that's not what the Bible's talking about when it talks about our heart. It's talking about, it's talking about our mind, but we've already covered the change of mind. But the change of mind is dealing with facts, dealing with information, and do I agree with that information? It's the thinking part of us. The mind is the thinking part of us. But there's another part of our brain that is described as the heart. It's there that we have our wrestlings with ourselves, our spiritual inclinations, our emotional consciousness. Proverbs 4 and verse 23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issue of life." That's true. Out of your heart, out of your inclinations, spring everything that you do in your life. But you have a choice as to what you put into your heart. Matthew 12 and verse 35, Jesus said it this way, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of evil treasure brings forth evil things." And so there's a good way to think about it. Think about your heart as being a treasure chest. Do you have a treasure chest? Not many of us do, but there are things that but let's assume that you have a treasure chest. What are you going to put in there? You're not going to put detestable things. You don't treasure evil things, do you? No, I want to put in my treasure chest good things. Well, where are you going to find good things? What did we say? Yeah, you find those in God's Word. God is good. Remember what we noticed last week and noticed several times when the rich nobleman came to Jesus? What shall I do to have eternal life, good master? And Jesus said, no one's good but God. God is good. So in my treasure chest, I want to put God in there. And I want to put the things that God says is good in there. And the things that God identifies as being evil and of the darkness, I don't want those in my treasure chest. I don't want those in my heart. Conversion changes one's focus, one's direction, and one's motivation. In Acts 26 and verse 18, Paul is recounting what Jesus said to him on the road to Damascus and what his work would be as an apostle of Christ. He said, Jesus told me that I was sent to open their eyes, the eyes of the Gentiles, in order to turn them from darkness to light. Where do you find the light? In Him Christ was light, and the light was the life of men. We're all in darkness because of our sin, but Jesus said to Paul, I'm sending you to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Everyone's in darkness. They need to come to the light. How do you come to? Well, you've got to open your eyes. And you open your eyes to the Word of God as being the truth and accept it. Because your treasure chest, you want to fill that up with good things. Ephesians 5 and verse 8 says, you were once darkness. You Christians, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. Stop acting like you're still part of the darkness. Stop sinning. Walk in the light. Walk as children of light. Verse 11 of the same chapter, he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. How is it that we come to sin? Well, we're drawn away by our own lust and enticed. How does that happen? Well, there's some things that we're just inclined to. We're drawn to, if you will. This passage says, just don't do that. Have no fellowship with darkness. Wherever you find that temptation to sin, turn away from it. Walk away from it. If it's on the internet, you just turn it off. You can see when you're getting close. I get emails just like everybody else gets emails, and you can see in the subject line and stuff that now this is, I'm not going here. This isn't happening. Delete, delete, delete. Individuals who are inclined to the same temptations that you're inclined to have no fellowship with them. How much fellowship is no fellowship? Yeah. Pretty simple, isn't it? Conversion involves a change of allegiance, you see. Allegiance is a sense of obligation or support, sense of support, loyalty, devotion. Who are you obligated to? Who are you loyal to? Conversion changes our allegiance from self, from darkness, to God, to light. The Christian pledges his loyalty and devotion to Christ and to his cause. Jesus said it this way in Luke 6, 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, term Lord signifies one who has authority. And Jesus said, why do you constantly say that I'm the one who has authority and do not the things which I say? You don't do what I tell you to do. He's challenging their sense of loyalty. When we are tempted to sin, do we recognize that we're being tempted to sin? Yep, shake your heads this way. Yeah, we recognize it. Where's your sense of loyalty? Gratification of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life, or glorifying God who loved you and died for you and leads you in that which is good? It just comes down to that. Are you going to be true to the one you claim to love? Joshua 24 and verse 15. You remember, Joshua said, choose this day whom you will serve. Every time you're tempted, you choose right here, right now, who you're going to serve. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21, speaking to the children of Israel, he says, how long will you falter between two opinions? Serve God or serve Baal? Make up your minds. Done with it. What was going on? Well, they claimed to be the children of Israel, the children of God. They wanted all the blessings of God, but they also wanted to serve Baal with the nations round about them. They thought they could have it both ways. God says, no, make up your minds. You can't do that. Either serve God or serve Baal. It's your choice. You deal with the consequences. Daniel 3, verses 17 through 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego remained loyal to God in the face of certain death. You're going to be thrown into a fiery furnace. And when they were it was so hot that the men who threw them into the furnace perished because of the heat. Did they think they were going to die? So we could. We could. God's able to deliver us if He wants to. We don't know if He will or not, but if He wants to. But here's one thing. We're not going to worship your image. We know that. Do you have that kind of faith? Do you have that kind of loyalty, that kind of allegiance to God? James 4 and verse 4 tells us that our divided loyalty results in spiritual adultery. We're trying to be married to God and to the world and to ourselves and to sin. It won't happen. In Galatians 2 and verse 20, here's Paul's statement of allegiance. I think it'd be good for all of us to adopt this. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives with my lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and pride of life and gratifying those things for whatever momentary pleasure I'm going to get out of it. No, that guy's gone. Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Christ's allegiance was to His Father and to everyone who will believe Him, to everyone who will trust Him and follow Him and glorify His Father as He sought to glorify His Father. Paul says, my allegiance is to Him. I'm not living for me anymore. And there's a change of state. There's a regeneration that takes place. We're born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Titus 3 and verse 5 says that not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saves us. How are we saved? By our works of righteousness? No, by His mercy through the washing of regeneration. What is that? He will save us by His mercy when we have aligned with the conditions of regeneration. We've been born again. We've been born of the water and of the Spirit by the renewing of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit is to reveal the will of God through the Word of God. The Holy Spirit's done His part. Have you allowed the Holy Spirit to do His part in your mind and in your heart? Do you treasure these words? And will you obey them? You become a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Don't do those things that we used to do. Forgiven of those things that we did in the past. Everything? Everything. You mean even? Yeah, even that. Everything's new. Regenerated. Walking in newness of life, as it says in Romans 6 and verse 4, we are buried with Him through baptism into death. This is where the regeneration takes place. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Even so we also are raised from the death of our sins to walk in newness of life with Him. Regenerated. We become citizen of the kingdom. Colossians 1 and verse 13, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. He has delivered us from where? The power of darkness. In Him is light. Have you comprehended the light? Have you come to the light? Are you walking in the light? Have you been delivered from the power of darkness to be a citizen of the kingdom of His Son and His love? To be part of the body of Christ and be saved. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, the body of the saved. The Spirit teaches us how to do that. We believe it, we trust it, we obey it, and it becomes so. We become a son or a daughter of the household of God. Romans chapter 8, verses 16 through 17. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Are you here this morning saying, I'm a child of God because I have heard what the Word of God says, the Word which the Holy Spirit delivered to us. I've heard it, I believed it, I've trusted it, I'm obeying it. Therefore, I'm a child of God. This passage says, the Holy Spirit is affirming the same thing before God. God, You told me to tell them that if they did this, they would be Your child. They've done that. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may be glorified together. So these changes are required for conversion to be demonstrated. We might mentally acknowledge all of these things, but there's going to be some indications in our lives that we have made these changes. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 24, unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. The word believe there is in the comprehensive sense. It's not just acknowledgement sense. It goes beyond the acknowledgement. Remember James chapter 2? You believe there's one God? You acknowledge there's one God? That's good. The demons also believe and tremble. The demons acknowledge God. They believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior of mankind. They believe God's word is truth, but they will not practice it. They will not be converted. Except you believe that I'm He, you will die in your sins. Believe that He is the light. Believe that He is the Lord. Believe that He is the Savior and come to Him. Jesus said in Luke 13, verses 3 and 5, except you repent, you will perish. Turn from your way to my way. Matthew 10 and verse 32, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father who's in heaven. Baptism into Christ and into His church. Multiple passages here. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. People say, I don't know if I know enough to be saved. You read through the book of Acts, and every person that is converted in the books of Acts, how much did they know? This is what they knew. They came to know that Jesus was the Word of God made flesh. They came to know that Jesus was the Savior of mankind. They came to know and recognize and acknowledge that they were sinners and that Jesus came to save them from their sin. They came to know what they needed to do to be saved, and they did it. They repented and were baptized. And the Lord added them to the church, the body of the saved. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 47 that you have there. What did they know? Well, they knew that they needed to continue in God's Word. And so they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's what He said there in Matthew 28 and verse 20. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. So you don't have to know all things before you're baptized. You just need to know what you need to do to be saved. And do it. And then continue in those things. And continue in His Word, as He says in John 8, verses 31 and 32. He said to those who believed on Him, if you abide in my word, you will know the truth. You will be my true disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Changes, I should say necessary changes, that are involved in conversion. Have you made those changes? Will you? I'm reminded of that Ethiopian treasure that we've noticed a few times. Who's the prophet talking about here? And Philip began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, there was a certain body of water. He said, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized? Remember the answer? If you believe with all your heart, you may. If you believe with that this is the truth, you've intellectually accepted the facts of the truth on this thing, and you are inclined to make God the Lord of your life, your allegiance is going to be to Him from this day, you may. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And they went down into the water and Philip baptized him. And the Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing. Why? He was converted. He wasn't what he used to be. His allegiance was to God in Christ Jesus. Will you make the same decision? Will you be converted? Would you please come as we stand and sing this song?